From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Jane Austen's classic second chance romance novel, Persuasion, is getting a modern take and twist in author Melody Edwards' new novel, Once Persuaded, Twice Shy. And we're lucky enough to have Melody joining us today to talk more about her new book. Melody, really nice to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So, Melody, can we just start with why did you decide to adapt a Jane Austen novel?
I studied English literature in my undergraduate degree. I love the classics. I love the romance classics. My debut novel, Jane and Edward, was a modern reimagining of Jane Eyre, just because it was my very first idea for a novel and I ran with it. And it was so much fun. I thought, let's do another reimagining. And my favorite Austen is Persuasion. So I thought I'd give that a go. And I thought it'd be a nice challenge to have a modern interpretation of a romance where you've got two characters who don't really want to make eye contact or talk to each other for most of the book.
So how do you go about doing like a modern take on such a classic novel, right? I mean, Jane Austen in particular, but then, you know, her novels. I mean, how do you do that?
Well, with great trepidation, of course, and all respect for Jane Austen, knowing you're never going to quite touch the pinnacle of her brilliance. But how I go about my process is, of course, I've read the books many times. I read them a couple more times. And what I try to do is I try to lay out a map of who the main characters are, what their core personality traits are. And then I look at the novel and think, what are the seminal events of the novel, the really big scenes that you just can't miss? And then I kind of lay out a list of all that, and I draw little arrows over to another page of my notebook, and I try to think of what the modern equivalent would be, both for the characters and for those seminal events. How can I, you know, translate an accident in the city of Bath, the city of Lyme, and how do I put that in a modern day setting?
So tell us about the premise then of your newest novel, as I mentioned, Once Persuaded, Twice Shy.
So Once Persuaded, Twice Shy is set in the lovely Canadian town of Niagara-on-the-Lake. It is a real place. It's very, very close to the American border. You can actually look across the water and see America. So I encourage everyone to go visit it. And it's a lovely setting. It's a combination of a tourist destination and a small town. And they have a very prominent theater program there called the Shaw Theater Festival. And so what I did is I pillaged all of that content, and I made Anne Elliot of Jane Austen's Persuasion, Anne Elliot of Niagara-on-the-Lake, who is the executive director of this theater festival. So she's got to run around and do budgets and ticket sales and worry about hiring directors and hiring casts and all of that. And then into her world comes her ex-boyfriend of 8 years ago, Ben Wentworth. And Ben's aunt and uncle have bought a winery in the area, and they are now setting up a business deal, partnering with the theater. And so Ben and Anne have got to sit across the boardroom table from each other and negotiate while overlooking the fact that they had this horrendous breakup 8 years ago. And then you have all the antics, of course, you'd get in a small town. You've got, you know, a background cast of characters, you've got rogue animals, you've got autumn festivals and all of those wonderful events.
Okay, so talk a little bit more about that, because you definitely have some side characters that are very quirky and very unique, but I think really add to kind of the depth of the story. So when you started, thinking about this novel and how you would write it, was it something where you thought, you know, I really need these side characters?
Well, I think once I picked a small town setting, side characters were a must, because every small town is filled with the lovely side characters. But a lot of it was just to, was to help with the structure of the novel itself. Like I said, the challenge of Persuasion is, for so much of the novel, the main romantic leads are not talking to each other, and they're not making eye contact, they're not making moves. And that might work for Jane Austen's time when you have these stifling social etiquette, but it's a bit tougher for a modern audience, who would say, well, why wouldn't you just text them? Why wouldn't you just talk to them? Why wouldn't you just, you know, make this approach? And so I thought, I need a lot of interference. I need a lot of action and comedy and interference so that these two keep getting interrupted. And I wanted to fill the scenes with a lot of life while they're both in a corner pining. And so that's where my side characters came in. And because the original Persuasion novel has wonderful background comedic characters, and I wanted to come up with sort of a modern equivalent of that. And then I rather had too much fun with some of the side characters, and I kind of ran away with them.
So let's talk a little bit about the town itself, Niagara-on-the-Lake. As you said, it is a real place. And what drew you to this particular town?
Well, I've been visiting Niagara-on-the-Lake since I was a child. It's just about a little less than 2 hours drive from Toronto, so it's a nice, you can go for a day trip, you can go for the weekend. And it's just such a magical place because it's, a very early settlement in Canadian history. It's got an old fort back when we felt we needed to defend ourselves from invading forces from America, and the fort's still there. It's got lovely little shops. It's got a hotel from, I think, the early 1700s. So you've got all these little bits and pieces of history going through, and they're beautifully preserved. And then there's just so much activity. There's lots of wineries, there's spas, there's a golf course. I mentioned the theater. They have lots of festivals. We have the Ice Wine Festival, I think, coming up, which is a week-long thing. And you wouldn't think ice wine is a thing, but here in Canada, where we have ice and we have wine, it's a thing. And so it was so filled with activity, and it was such a magical place. I thought it'd be a great setting. And the other element was it's a very contained space. And again, I've got two characters I kind of need to force into proximity that they'll keep bumping into each other over and over again. They'll bump into each other at the shops, and they'll bump into each other at the restaurants, and they'll bump into each other on the hiking trails. And I really like that because Niagara, for all that it's so packed, is quite a small little location. So it's lovely. And in my first novel, I tried to showcase Toronto as a Canadian location. And so I really wanted to visit a second but very different Canadian location for this book, because I am a proud Canadian.
Well, and I mean, as you mentioned, right? If you needed them to be bumping into each other, that's very difficult to do in a place like Toronto.
Oh, yes. In Toronto, I mean, for my first novel, when I needed to trap two characters in Toronto, I put them in the same office working across the hall from each other. So it was a real physical, there you're trapped 9 to 5 every day, day after day. And this one, I needed them to sort of be trapped in each other's atmosphere.
Yeah. So what are you hoping that people take away from reading not just this novel, but your first novel and taking these adaptations of Jane Austen novels?
Well, the original novels are not prerequisite reading for these. I think I've had some early readers say you can read these and still follow along. But I do hope that people do visit the original novels because they're wonderful novels. And for me, it's about bringing forward these characters, Jane Austen and Charlotte Bronte. They just did such magnificent female protagonists. They're so psychologically rich. They're so detailed. They're so interesting. And I think they're still very, very modern. I think women still read these books. Everyone still reads these books. I shouldn't just restrict it, but because they recognize the personalities and the people behind them. So what I like to do is I think I'm going to go try to capture the essence of that heroine and bring her forward into the modern world and have her operate in that modern world still very much as she is. So I like to think about it's time traveling these characters, and it's finding new iterations of them, and they're just also just tremendously fun. They're just such tremendously well-drawn characters. What writer wouldn't want to bore them and have fun with them?
Well, I want to thank you so much for your time today and talking with us about your newest novel. I really appreciate the conversation.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. This was wonderful.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.